Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. The future of healthcare belongs to the next generation. From director of To Err Is Human, a patient safety documentary, Mike Eisenberg, comes a new documentary about the evolving role of technology in improving patient safety across medicine. Through expert interviews, real-world technology solutions, and one young innovator's journey into the layered business of medicine, The Pitch showcases the immense effort required to break into the healthcare industry with new innovations and the importance of collaboration between those on the inside and those out of the medical space. So with that, bring on the program our guest today, the director of The Pitch, Patient Safety's Next Generation, Mike Eisenberg. Mike, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. There is so much around the issue of our own personal health and safety, and it's just an enormous amount of public space is taken up by this discussion. And oftentimes it ends up being about how much it costs and the inefficiencies and access and so many other things. We are mired in a conversation that feels in many ways very much a 20th century conversation. And oftentimes money and power of industries have gotten in the way. Watching this particular film, The Pitch, feels like the disruptors are at the gates of healthcare and medicine. Let's talk about how you got into this space. What brought you into doing this particular project, and anything you want to add to what I've been talking about?
Yeah, well, no, you bring up very good points, and the conversation around healthcare. If I were to tell somebody I made a healthcare documentary, I think the first, second, third, fourth things would be insurance or criminal actors or just a number of other parts of the healthcare system that I think people think of first before they think of patient safety. But that's actually a very backwards way of looking at this topic. It is as important as anything in the healthcare space, and it's a story that's incredibly underrepresented in media, especially documentary. And in 2015, I started this journey of sort of what is now, this is a sequel to a film that we made, which you mentioned, To Err Is Human. It came out in 2019. We spent 3+ years making that film, really exploring the depths of these issues in healthcare and how safe is it, but doing it through the lens of the people doing the work to make it safer. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's commonplace. I think when you see a healthcare documentary about errors or harm, that it's usually about a horrific event that happened and somebody who did it maliciously. It's not usually about errors and mistakes that come through the natural process of healthcare, which is really where the majority of these things happen. So we made a film that really covered the gamut of how widespread it is, but also how we're going to fix it. And that was received really well. We're very proud of it, still screening it today. It's been in 12 countries and it's making an impact. And so I have never left this space. As a documentary filmmaker, I want to explore different stories, and I have, but I'm very embedded now in this. Not just because of that film and its success, but because my father was the director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality until he passed away in 2002. And I was 17 years old at the time. I didn't have a huge grasp of what exactly he was doing, but he was on TV sometimes. And a landmark report that was also called To Err Is Human came out in 1999, which really shined a light on the scope of patient safety and medical harm. And he was at the forefront of the messaging and of making a difference and getting changed. So fast forward, 20 years, I'm looking at a new project to explore. And if you're going to make a documentary, you really have to be passionate about the topic. You don't make a lot of money, and it's usually a grind. And so if you're not passionate about it, it's very hard to keep up with the pace that it requires. So, we spend a lot of time making that film. And since then, I've been able to, in some ways, continue his legacy in my own approach as a filmmaker. And now the opportunity came up for us to continue the story and talk about what's next, what's the future look like in healthcare, and what all this technology that we're somewhat familiar with in other industries or in personal life, how can it be applied to healthcare to make it safer? I think that was an opportunity we couldn't pass up on, and one that I think will continue the conversation towards positive thinking. Okay, what does it look like when people are doing good work? And how do we make sure everybody in healthcare is thinking on that same lines and not just trying to prevent people from knowing that mistakes happen and prevent people from knowing that there's a lot more room to improve in healthcare? So that's the long story, I think,
That's a
of
good
how
story.
we got to here, but
That's a good
I'm still
story.
very passionate about it.
Yeah, and it comes across in the film. It goes back to something fundamental, and that is that business, our bodies have been turned into a business opportunity. We're a profit center for instead of providing health care that makes us, better people, living longer, healthier, happier, instead is how can we manipulate medicine, medical care in a way that we can profit from and we can continue to maximize our profit? That's the problem. That's the disconnect. And in the film, you get the feeling, hopefully, that people coming into the industry, coming into healthcare, have grown up in a very technologically integrated society. And they understand that, and it's said in the film, it comes across in the film that this should be more a part of a benign future for all of us, not something that we should fear. Although I know there's going to be intrinsically people who are fearful of AI, right? No matter what. And I get it. It's understandable. It's a cautionary tale. God knows we could, robot leadership or something like that. So I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things along those lines, but at the end of the day, if a doctor can walk into a room or look at a monitor and see our heart before they operate on it, that's all for the best.
Yeah,
I know
and
I distilled a lot of stuff into one point here, but no, I think.
but that is the point. I think about healthcare and technology, my brain goes to Spielberg, my brain goes to fantasy films about what it looks like when we're in 2055 and doctors are doing surgery, on their couch at home, operating a robot on somebody. Like, that's not reality, right? And I think we all know when we look at the way future is portrayed in the movies we love, and now at being 2024, and we're starting to approach some of the dates in those movies, that was a fantasy and it still is. The reality is, all this technology that exists around us today is being used by other industries in many cases to make things safer. You look at the car industry, and we tap into this in the movie a little bit, but you look at the car industry, and the first thing they did to become more advanced technologically was embrace the idea of seat belts and airbags. We look at that as very, lo-fi now, but it was a game changer then. Now today, your car is full of technology that almost exclusively works to make it safer. Not because it's going to prevent a mistake that you make as a driver, but when you make that mistake, it will prevent you from being harmed. And that is something I think you see a lot in the healthcare industry. I love the parallel because clinicians will make mistakes. They're human beings. They are overburdened and understaffed, and they cannot be perfect. And whether you're talking about surgery or you're talking about simply providing a diagnosis, there's so many what ifs and so many things that can go wrong. But the data has been collected. Healthcare knows, for the most part, where these holes in the Swiss cheese are, and they need to start closing those gaps. And one of the best ways they can do it is technology. And people think AI means robots and it means sentient technologies and things like that. What it really means is there's this whole world of technology that exists in zeros and ones inside of computers where they can collect, the computers can collect this insane amount of data and turn it into something that we as humans can understand. And when you look at healthcare, like you walk into a healthcare setting, you are going to get tons of things either plugged into you or connected to you, and that's all dishing out information constantly. And nurses can't be checking on you 24/7, and frankly, they shouldn't be. The recovery process actually needs you to have some peace and quiet. And so, what if in the background, the technology is working to keep assessing your situation and then alerting those nurses or doctors to your status if it changes, rather than requiring them to always be on top of it? That's a really simple way of explaining how technology can make healthcare safer. But in the film, we see other examples that are more fancy and more robust. But at the simplest form of it all, we know how to translate data now. So let's start doing it in healthcare. And as a somebody who will at some point become a patient again, I want to know that my healthcare system is advanced. It's a 2024 hospital, not a 1970 hospital with paint jobs. And the clinicians that are entering the workforce, if we want to get more people to get into healthcare as a professional, we need to reflect the world that they live in. And I say over and over again, but these people in medical school right now, they have not lived in a moment in their life without the presence of a phone or technology. That this is now, this is the generation forever. Nobody who ever enters that workforce will have lived a moment in their life where this wasn't just part of it and we're connected and all of that. So we have to build a healthcare system that can reflect the world that they've grown up in and the world that we as patients expect to see when we walk into a hospital.
I really have not focused on a lot of what the film is actually about. We've been talking about healthcare, which is important. I think this conversation we're having really is critically important to understanding what the pitch is about. And it is about particular people in the film that we see. Yeah, Ratan
It's
Ganguly,
Safeway.
who is a founder of a company that is essentially doing a lot of the data work, understanding this, where safety is the most critically important, or understanding the risk analysis, if you will, and more than that. But focusing in the film, you focus on these particular people who are in the forefront of just what we're talking about. So take whoever you want to talk about in terms of introducing us to that part of the film, which, like I said, I haven't really talked about as much as I should. By the way, the film is called The Pitch. We're speaking with the director, Mike Eisenberg. So go ahead.
That's the funny thing about documentary filmmaking is you really have a limited runtime to tell a story. And sometimes it is a self-contained story. It has a start, a middle, and a finish. But when you're talking about healthcare, especially patient safety, which is an ongoing challenge for healthcare itself, it's unfinished and we're trying to help catch you up. And in the process, I love the opportunity to show people what is happening behind the scenes that you don't get to see. A lot of hospitals will promote the technology that they've integrated in, whether it's, a fancy lobby or a robotic surgery assistant. But what you're not going to see is how behind the scenes these innovations can change the way a whole hospital functions. One of my favorite things in the film, we go to Canada, actually, and there are many of these stateside, but logistically, it was easiest for us to go to this hospital in Canada called Humber River Health. They have a command center. It looks just like if you watch any film about NASA or you've seen those command centers, it looks just like that. They've got rows of sort of connected desks, all have their own computer systems, and then a wall just completely covered in screens. Some of those screens are, closed ca are fo is footage from different areas of the hospital where they need to monitor, like the ER and how busy it is, or it's actual data that's streaming from the patient's bedside to this room, so that they can keep an eye on anything that might need to be alerted back to the nurses. And I mentioned this earlier. This is sort of how it happens behind the scenes. Not every hospital can afford a command center, and there's a reality there that we have to accept. But the example we showed in the film, which exists in over 300 hospitals, this software across the country and world, I think 300 is global, but it's really a room where the goal is how do we make sure that we don't drop the ball ever? And all this stuff is happening inside of computers, inside of servers and all this amazing stuff we'll never actually see. Although we do have some animation in the film that helps visualize it a bit. But being able to get in that room and see it, that's something that I, as a patient, would never see and hopefully would never know about. It's the sort of CGI versus practical effects conversation. Good CGI, you don't actually notice it. And a well-run hospital, you shouldn't notice it. So the beauty of those kinds of integrations of things that we've seen in other industries is a great example. But we also go into much smaller, more, finite examples. There's a surgeon in East Lansing, Michigan, who's utilizing a VR headset to replace anesthesia when it's not necessary.
That's
Because
amazing.
as he explains in the film, oftentimes you get surgery that you don't need to go under for, but you sort of instinctively say, I just don't want to be awake for this. And the hospital will more than gladly take your money and allow you to stay in the hospital for 3 days while you recover because, well, you have to if you go under. And there are a lot of complications that can come with going under for surgery. If you don't have to, And the tools exist to allow you not to, that's a great thing to explore. But it's all very new. And I think that's where the conversation really should go at. When you're done with the film, thinking about the big picture of, okay, that's all well and good. I like what I saw in the film. But here are my concerns. And starting to have that dialogue and conversation. I don't think it's necessary for me to tell you how to think as a filmmaker, but rather to present you with what's going on and allow you to have that conversation. There's other people out there who are going to make films about how evil AI is and how terrible it can be. And I don't doubt that there is some truth to it, but I just don't see a lot of films where they show the good things that are happening. And I really wanted that opportunity. I wanted to seize that moment to say, look at these great examples of when it's working,
Right.
and then use Ratam, who is the CEO founder of Aletheia, use his story to show what it looks like in the process of how they actually get themselves embraced by a hospital system. It's not easy. It's actually a crazy path. And anybody who's ever owned a business or anybody who's ever tried to pitch an idea that is sounds great in your head but might not be making a lot of sense to the other people, this is a great film to show you what that process can look like, especially in healthcare.
Could not agree more. There is so much to unpack in terms of healthcare industry, its relationship to its patients. As I mentioned earlier, how much money is made on patients. Are they seen as patients or are they seen as profit centers? And that's part, this is part of that discussion.
And
If
not to
people,
interrupt you, but I do think that that part of the conversation is vital because we are all customers for every hospital. But if we as patients don't ask for them to get better, they won't have any reason to. If we don't demand a safer healthcare system, why would they spend money on making it safer? So that's a part where we all have to think as critically as patients, how do we make our healthcare experience the one that we want to experience and not just the one we're given?
Amen. Amen. And the idea of safety being kind of the way into this conversation. I thought that was clever, if that's the right word to use, but I thought it was insightful to say patient safety means XYZ up and down the chain of healthcare. And so I think that's a good approach. If people want to see the pitch, how can we see it? It's coming.
It
How would people?
just came out today. And obviously, when you're listening to this, it'll have already been released, but it came out September 17th. And it's now available on platforms like Apple TV and Prime Video and other streaming platforms you might use at home, like Vudu or YouTube or Google Play. But if you like DVDs and Blu-rays, like me, I still like my physical media. You can get it there too on Amazon. So it's out there. But we're also very passionate about having in-person screening events, which have panel discussions afterwards, so that people can have conversations kind of like what we had, but bringing the experts in to turn what is a 60-minute documentary into a potentially, a 2-hour-long conversation and really impact change. So not only will the film be available in streaming and physical formats, but also possibly, look at our website. We'll constantly keep it updated with where we're going to be in person for screenings, and hopefully we'll be somewhere where you can come see it in person and be part of the conversation.
And that website is
That would be www.thepitchdocumentary.com.
very good. Very good. Well, thank you. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoyed the film, The Pitch, and
Thanks.
I think this is going to be an ongoing conversation we're going to be having for a long, long time. There will always be something around healthcare that will need to be addressed in a way that's more effective and more efficacious for everyone involved. Mike Eisenberg, I want to thank you so very much for your time. Thank you for the pitch. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.